All right, welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing a local podcast. Good morning, or no, good afternoon. It is June 26th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. It's about 1,000 degrees outside and about 1,000% humidity, but besides that, it's beautiful. I was just talking to my friend, a guy that I am in recovery with, and he goes out to dinner. We go to a meeting tonight, and he's like, nobody wants to go to dinner. And I go, yeah, it's because it's too freaking hot. And he's like, is this the summer blues? And I go, no, I just think it's freaking too hot, man. Nobody wants to do anything. It's like oppressive. So, but whatever, we'll get through it. It is summer. Surprise, surprise, right? It is hot. It gets hot here on the East Coast. I know it seems like every year everybody forgets. So hot. I go, yeah, it's hot here. It's freaking Gulf of Mexico, steamy, brutal, hot air come bellowing up through the freaking Gulf there, and it is hot. And but it is what we got, right? It is what we got. I got up this morning. It is Wednesday. Went paddling. Been paddling a lot. I feel like I'm talking about paddling a lot, but it is what I do. But we went paddling this morning. Brought a friend of mine, new guy from the program. Our new guy moved here in the program and invited him to come out, and he had a great time. You know, he suffered a bit. I do believe you're not living unless you're suffering some, and he definitely suffered. But it was great. Great to see the fellows get out on the water. It was a little, you know, sort of the same conditions as I cried about the other day, hot and windy. But we did it. Got that out of the way. Excuse me. And, yeah, I just got home. I'd sit down and see if I can do a podcast. Usually do not do one at this time of the week, but I have a whole studio up here, and I'm like, why don't I use it? See what I can chat about. I did want to read something, and this is out of As Bill Sees It, and let me get my flashlight. I got to get my flashlight so I can see the words here. And it's page 59, Conviction and Compromise. One qualification for a useful life is give and take. The ability to compromise cheerfully. Compromise comes hard to us, all or nothing drunks. Nevertheless, we must never lose sight of the fact that progress is nearly always characterized by a series of improving compromises. Of course, we cannot always compromise. There are circumstances in which it is necessary to stick flat-footed to one's convictions until the issue is resolved. Deciding when to compromise and when not to compromise always calls for the most careful discrimination. And I was like, you know, I just went up to Milford to pick up my buddy who had to drop off a rental car. And I was listening to the podcast I did the other day and, you know, sort of sharing about how, you know, during that paddle, I went to a place that I'd never been, right? I'd never been to a place pushed that far, right? Where quitting is just running through my mind. And, you know, it's happened before, but it hasn't happened lately. And one of the great things about, you know, getting sober, you know, and I sort of shared this in that podcast was, you know, I was just the idea, right? The idea of being able to stay sober forever, right? Was just unbelievable. The idea was unbelievable. And every single day that I got by staying sober, I was just in awe. And every day that I stayed sober and put one day behind me was another day that I pushed myself into a place that I had not been ever.
We'll be right back.
Takes me back down memory lane. That was a long time ago. Great band, great song. But yeah, it is one of the interesting things. It just made me think about it when I heard it, because you know, every day in recovery for me early on was like, holy cow, this is like, who knew I could go 3 days without drinking? I had come from this place of such hopelessness and despair that I was like just in shock that I'd wake up and not drink, right? And just blown away. So every day was another achievement. And eventually those start to wear off. But, you know, one of the cool things about recovery for me is that I had put a pause on so many things in my life. And as soon as, and my, you know, my real kickoff to this life of addiction and alcoholism really didn't start with drinking. I mean, drinking was always around, but, you know, mine was always pot. Early on was pot. And, when I started smoking pot in the battle with my folks and society, right, and community and all the, you know, every, it was like me against the world. I mean, I had a few friends, but it was us against the world. And you sort of, or I sort of just put a pause on, you know, maturing and really achieving anything. And when I came in, you know, and I started to achieve just the day, one day of not having alcohol in me and then 2 days of not having alcohol in me, I'd like, okay, let's catch up, right? And so many things come flooding in. And there was just, you know, early recovery where so many things, you know, going to school. I went to, you know, went to Rutgers and to in a career that I really didn't, I was so excited about not being drunk that I would just jumped on any bandwagon as quick as I could. And one of them was, you know, going to college. And because I struggled in school so badly, and it wasn't that I wasn't smart, because I'm smart. I'm a smart guy. I'm smart enough to make it through school, but I just chose to do so many different things other than school. And so as soon as I put all that crap on the shelf, I was like, time to show everybody I can do school, right? And time to show everybody I can get a decent job. And you know, those are the obvious things. And, you know, that's why it's great to have a sponsor to kind of, you know, because I had one. He's like, I wouldn't go to, you know, don't do anything crazy or real out of character for the first year. And, you know, going to college was definitely out of character for me. And, you know, and of course I didn't listen. And I did all those things, got married, and it all sort of worked out, I guess. But, you know, my career today does not, you know, use that degree that I got. And the marriage that I had early on is not, it does not exist anymore. I do not have regrets, but, you know, whatever. But, you know, what I thought was interesting about that reading was that, you know, compromise. We did a reading today at the, you know, the paddling I do. I wonder if I can see it. I don't know. Anyway, the point was is that, you know, when you read something like that and it talks about compromise, I think that's a real introduction to humility. You know, because for me, anytime I have to compromise, I have to be able to have the humility to take a look at every situation and realize, yeah, maybe I'm not right on this, right? Maybe there is some flexibility. I, in the past, especially during my addiction, you know, it was all the thinking that I ever did was always about me, right? Me. What do I want? Who cares about anybody else? What am I getting, right? I have no compromise because I want what I want, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get it. And so compromising, humility, anything like that didn't exist in my life. And when I got sober, even in the first year, right, I'm still, you know, so, I mean, I'm not drinking, but my thinking hasn't changed, right? There's obvious thinking that changes immediately because of just the shit that goes along with being, you know, drunk or recovering from being drunk. And those obviously, that thinking changed pretty quickly. But, you know, to compromise, right, to be flexible. So early recovery, you know, that was exposed with my parents. You know, we had gotten into such sort of this toxic place that I was very inconsiderate of them. Our relationships were either fighting or trying to make up a fight or I'm sorry because I need something. And my parents on the other side knowing the whole time, right? Oh, you're apologizing because you want something, right? Or you're being nice because you need something from us. And it was never the ability for me to look at myself and say, man, you really are a piece of shit and you need to adjust your life. Excuse me, my God. And so, but all those things slowly take time, you know, through recovery. And, you know, we start, you know, the first three steps, like I've said before, you know, to admit that we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable, is the first real humble thing that I had done, to admit, right? To compromise, right? Because prior to that, I wasn't admitting shit, right? And it is funny, you know, when I did come into this program and sat down and admitted that I was powerless over alcohol, the spotlight lit up, right? And all of a sudden, now we definitely had an issue because I had admitted it. And whenever that happens, now that at least gives you something to start working on, at least for me to try to start fixing. And that's why I do think that the first step is so important because, I used to laugh, you know, I'd sit on Barstool and say, yeah, I'm an alcoholic, right? I drink every day. But I always, sort of in the back of my mind, thought, you know, an alcoholic was, you know, a bum. And I wasn't a bum. So, you know, it was always more of a jokey kind of position on my alcoholism. But it isn't until I got to that point where I had no other options, I had to finally admit it, right? And even the first time wasn't even a great one. It's really in 08 when I finally, really in 06, when I finally said, I am an alcoholic and I have a problem. And then I could really start doing the work. And, but, you know, no humility in my life. And, but, you know, it starts to come back, right? It starts to come back. And, you know, it just reminds me just that when I read that lack of, it says one qualification for a useful life is a give and take, the ability to compromise cheerfully. I did not have that, right? It was all take. That's how most typical alcoholics are. I know I was. I took people's peace of mind. I took people's money. I took people's happiness, right? And I was very, very inconsiderate of other people. And I do believe that's what alcoholism is. It's the disease of self, right? We don't give a shit about anybody else. And, you know, I'm going through this with a person that's close to me. I've sort of talked about it before. This person is back to drinking, right? And it's so sad, once again, right? I have, you know, this the person, her mother, right? Her mother. She's like, you need to talk to her. You need to tell her, right? I had a guy come in the other day, and he, I guess, had an appointment with someone and with her, I guess. And she didn't show up. And he was pissed. And I'm like, listen, I'll take care of you. You know, and I took care of his hair and got him fixed up. And, you know, now I'm dealing, right? Now I'm on the other side of it, right? I've always been the alcoholic and the problem. Now my world is dealing with one. And, you know, this person's mom's like, talk to her, you know, tell her what you had to do. And I'm like, I can't, right? I cannot. Because when I was in that place where this other person is at now, I didn't give a shit, right? There was no compromising. There was no humility. It's a possession of self. It's a spiritual malady that takes place. And it's just like a movie, right? And there's no talking to them. And it's terrible. It's awful. And I hate to see it happen. And unfortunately, the person that I feel so bad for is the person's mom, right? Because who gets hurt worse the most? It's the family the families to get take the biggest beating in these things. And but yeah, you know, for me, it's just this, you know, over time. And you know, today when situations come up, I think I can cheer, like it says right there, cheerfully compromise, right? I don't have to have a meltdown, right? I don't have to stomp my feet. Not saying I haven't or couldn't possibly still stomp a foot or two in the future, but I really, really try to work on it. You know, my buddy needed a ride up to pick up his car or drop off a rental car. You know, that is an inconvenience. But, you know, I immediately, whenever any opportunity in my life, like paddling, picking up a friend, going to work, I immediately think of what my life used to be like, right? I probably shared this before. I'll never forget sitting in that jail cell in San Diego, a cinder block jail cell with a freaking old television behind plexiglass watching, I don't know, one of the Honeymooners, I think it was. And I just remember vividly saying to myself, I don't care what I am doing in my life. It's got to be better than this, right? It has to be better than this. And so anytime a situation comes up, we were just driving home and I'm driving by this golf course. And I used to work on the golf course. And I just kept thinking, I'm so grateful I'm not working on a golf course. Not that there's any disrespect to those folks because I did it for 10 years, but it is a brutal job. And I'm just grateful I don't do it anymore. Oh, my God. And, you know, so I try to reflect and to remind myself that, and I also miss that job. I've said that before, too. I miss working on a golf course. I loved, you know, not on 96-degree days with 100% humidity. Those were not my favorite, but I do love working outside. I love, you know, working with grass and all that stuff. So no disrespect to those guys. I love them. But it's just, I'm just grateful. And I bet you any one of them would probably agree with me. I wish I did not have this job today. But it just, I have to reflect, right? And I have to keep reminding myself of what I'm capable of ending up and how grateful I am that I have what I have today. And always to remind myself that the work that it takes, right? This is this job of recovery. It doesn't end. The day I die will be the day that I stop going to meetings. You know, I hope I go to a meeting and then die, right? I just, it's, I've had to compromise and, what does it say? We must lose sight of the fact that progress is nearly always characterized by series of improving compromises, right? I didn't always used to be that way, right? I used to, of course, back in the day, you know, you'd compromise with a few kicks and stuff. But today, you know, over each compromise gets a little bit better. And it's sort of, it's just like, you know, the paddling, right? You know, I never expected myself to be capable of doing the things that I've been doing. And I keep pushing myself, right? And I can do that, have that same sort of philosophy when it comes to when I have to deal with other things like compromising and situations that aren't always favorable to me, right? Not everything gets to go my way these days. And, you know, I can kick and scream about it, or I can just be like, you know what? I'm not in that jail cell, right? And sometimes it's just that freaking simple for me. You know, my buddy Matt used to say, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, man, it should all work out. And I think about that. Right, I never paid for a hooker, but I know exactly what he's talking about, and you know, I had to dumb it down, and because in the end, right here I am, right sitting here at 55 years old, whatever compromises I've gone through, whatever hard times and good times I've gone through, it's all worked out to a point where here I sit, you know, drinking this iced coffee, sitting in front of my laptop, and sharing some of my experience, strength, and hope with other people that I hope are, you know, trying to, you know, work through compromises themselves, right? Because like I said the other day, I didn't come here for any of that, right? I didn't come here to compromise. I didn't come here to be a good compromiser. I didn't come here to be a worker amongst workers. I didn't come here to help my fellow man. I just came here because I got caught too much. So every day is like that day in the ocean the other day, just pushing myself a little farther into places that I didn't think or know I was capable of doing. And that's a freaking gift, man. That is a freaking gift. I get to be an example to my parents. I get to my father. I get to be an example to my kids. And, you know, I get to be an example to my friends. And I get to be an example to myself. You know, I always am looking at myself going, hey, you know, way to hang in there, bro. Because I tell you, the other day I was tested. And, you know, I came out on the other side and I feel good and returned today for more of a beating. And what an amazing day, man. Out in the ocean. I mean, surrounded by dolphins. I mean, that, how freaking cool is that? You know, I was talking to a buddy on the way home, my buddy Ben. And you know, he's like, sometimes, you know, it's boring. And he's referring to paddling, and he's right. there are times out in the ocean it is boring. You're just paddling, and you're just trying to get home, and you're going through all these different thoughts in your head about, like today was funny because, you know, at some point we come out of the ocean, and we're headed towards this giant wall, right? It's kind of a breaker wall that sort of separates the bay, the fishing pier and stuff, and we're heading straight to it. And I'm just like, what way are we going to go? If we go left, it's going to be a shorter paddle. If we go right, it's going to be a lot longer, and I'm going to be annoyed, right? And I'm just constantly in my head, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I'm just, and at one point I'm like, who cares, right? Who cares, right? Because then I take myself back to that cinder block jail cell, and I go, would you rather be there, right? Because at that moment you said, I don't care what I'm doing. It's got to be better than this. And it reminds me, man, you know, and I told my buddy Ben, and I go, I'm just out there because I just want to have some good exercise. I just want to experience things, and I like to push myself to a place where I really get upset, and I like to push through it. And, you know, it only costs me $350 a year, and that's not bad. And I said, besides anything I've ever done, you know, because in the end, you know, I do want to take care of myself. I am involved in paddling for the exercise, for my health. And for me, and I won't speak for everybody, but in the end, anytime I've ever done anything for my health, it always gets boring and it always gets monotonous. You know, I've been a runner, I've been a biker, I've gone to the gym, I've done all of it, and I can't stand any of it today. And I enjoy the paddling because I get to go out in the ocean and I get tested and I feel better about myself. And I, you know, I talked about early on, late winter, summer, I'd fucking gotten so fat, and I feel good about my weight right now. I adjusted my diet, right? I've been eating better. I've been eating less, really. I've only been eating one meal a day. Surprise, surprise, I feel great. I've been trying to not eat sugar, right? Not eat creamer. I've been just drinking black coffee, drinking a lot of water. I made the adjustments and started walking and doing the paddling. And I was telling my wife, these shorts I bought, they all fit now. I'm like, sweet. Like, I just got a whole new wardrobe of shorts. And it's an inch, right? I just needed to drop an inch. But, you know, I did the work and I feel better. And I just feel really good today. And so the reading that I read, you know, to me, I just thought it was interesting because I think the most interesting part was that it said, characterized by a series of improving compromises. And, you know, I can learn from that, right? I can, you know, because to compromise is a skill, I think. There is some thinking into it, and I do believe that I can do it a little bit better each time, right? You know, if you have any kids and you try to get to compromise with your kids, you know, it's not always pleasant. And sometimes I think about, you know, early on, that's what I reminded myself of as a kid, trying to learn how to compromise. But you get better at it. And, you know, just because you compromise doesn't mean you're always giving in, right? Doesn't mean that, and I think it says that sort of in the end, right? It says, of course, we cannot always compromise. There are circumstances in which it is necessary to stick flat-footed to one's convictions until the issue is resolved. And I do believe that happens a lot with my kids, too, because they will come up with some crazy suggestions. And, yeah, I'm just like, no, forget it. Deciding when to compromise and when not to compromise always calls for the most careful discrimination. And I do believe humility is in there somewhere. But yeah, that's sort of what's going on. It is a beautiful day, another wonderful day to be sober. It was nice. I've dragged a few people in recovery out into the boat. You know, just to, you know, a lot of people come into the program, broken, right? And, I know when I came in, I didn't have a lot of hope, obviously, but even when I got sober and put down the bottle, I was like, I don't know, can I scrape something together here, right? And is there life after this? And one day at a time, if you get involved, if you're a man or a woman, you know, find a group of men, find a group of women, and, you know, you won't like everything they do, right? That's another thing, you know, you don't like everything that everybody does. You don't like everybody, you know, why do they have to laugh so much, right? Or why do we have to always do this? It's a great introduction into compromise, right? Because, you know, you could say, fuck it, I'm not doing any of this shit. And you will sit home alone, right? But we make compromises and it allows us to be involved. And I, you know, I love meetings and I love the big book, but, you know, some of the best lessons that I've ever learned is just hanging out with people in recovery who are all making little compromises, right? And believe me, there are people that had to compromise to be my friend, right? I'm sure there are people like, man, I don't know, but I'll try. You know, let's see what we can do. And, you know, so it's just a lot of great lessons to be learned in there. Yeah, let's see if I can do, let me read the daily reflections and then I'm going to get out of here. Go to a meeting. Let's see. What's our time? Time is time. Oh, okay. Not bad. A gift that grows with time. Oh, that's interesting. For most normal folks, drinking means convivility. I don't know what the hell that means. All right. For most normal folks, drinking means convivility, companionship, and colorful imagination. It means release from care, boredom, and worry. It is joyous intimacy with friends and a feeling that life is good. Yeah. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 151. The longer I chased these elusive feelings with alcohol, the more out of reach they were. However, by applying this passage to my sobriety, I found that it describes the magnificent new life made available to me by the AA program. It truly does get better. One day at a time, the warmth, the love, and the joy so simply expressed in these words grow in breadth and depth each time I read it. Sobriety is a gift that grows with time. Yeah, that's sort of what I was just saying. I mean, it is a gift. And, you know, whether it's, you know, compromising, you know, putting in some time, having relationships with people in the program, it does get better. And especially when you come from a place where I came, which was just a guy living in a one-bedroom apartment with a broken-down car, with a broken-down job, and broken-down neighbors, and just being a total pain in the ass. It wasn't hard to get better. I just had to keep sticking with it and find some humility and make some compromises and listen and be friends amongst friends and worker amongst workers and just treat this as the gift that it is. All right, later.